The Monty Show, Friday, September 7th, 2018. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Happy Friday, little buddy.
You too.
Yes. It is Football Friday. We're going to have our locks of the weeks for you. I'm going to give you three from the NFL. I'm going to give you like five or six from college football, including tons of Pac-12. I got BYU, Utah. I got Georgia, Stanford, Arizona State coming up. Yeah, it's all straight ahead on The Monty Show. Make sure you find us online. TheMontyShow.com. M-O-N-T-Y, TheMontyShow.com. That's where you find us really everywhere. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it, iHeartRadio, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. So a couple of stories before we give you our picks of the week. Because I think, Jake, there's a couple of stories, NCAA and the NFL. I want to start with Matt Ryan from last night. Because one of the problems for the NFL right now is viewership was terrible in that game last night. And a lot of people are spinning it, which I totally understand. A lot of people are spinning it saying, hey, you know what? It was rain delayed and a lot of people turned it off. I don't buy that. I just think there are fewer people watching on broadcast television, whether that's cabled, satellite, whatever. I think there's a lot fewer people watching those outlets now. I think you're seeing a lot more things like YouTube TV. I think you're seeing a lot more streaming, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think being that it was Thursday, being that they choose to kick off the football season on a Thursday, which I'm still not a huge fan of. I do think it should be on a Sunday. But I think overall, like, I agree with you. I think there's more people than ever who are not on DirecTV.
You don't like the Thursday. The reason they do that, one, is to showcase Thursday Night Football. But two, it gives it an opportunity to be a standalone product. It's its own game. It should be the crown jewel of sports that night. But when you're losing, you know, 6 points off of a high in ratings, you're not doing well. That's nothing short of a disappointment for the NFL.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I don't know. Of course, the spin machine is going to go after that and say, well, this, well, that. All I'm saying is the numbers weren't there any way you look at it. So I don't know. Maybe it is because people are streaming it. Maybe it is because there's been a lot of drama this offseason. Maybe people are still not quite fully plugged into the NFL yet because it's the first game of a new season. I don't know.
Well, it was a hugely disappointing night for the Atlanta Falcons. They lose 18-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Not only did the Eagles win the game, they ran a variation of the Philly special, which after the game, Doug Peterson and Nick Foles admitted they took straight from the Patriots playbook in the Super Bowl last year to score another touchdown. And I think it is time, and I'm not saying that you need to panic. I think it is time that you start to wonder if Matt Ryan is on that accelerated decline in his career. And I say that because think about where this cat's been. 2 years ago, they have a heartbreaking loss to the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Last year, he has, by some standards, a mediocre year. It's a career worst year. He only throws for 4,000 yards and change.
Only.
Yeah, but by NFL standards, this is a guy who was one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Yeah.
Those guys are throwing for 45 to 5,000 yards. Then there's this guy who's down to 4,000 yards. Career worst year last year. Then you come into this game against Philly, and you lose the exact same way that you lost in the playoffs to Philadelphia last year. You're in the red zone. You can't connect with Julio Jones. Bad passes. Bad interceptions.
Yeah.
Taking bad sacks. Looking bad. And Matt Ryan looks like a guy who just doesn't believe good things are going to happen when the ball comes off his hand.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I think I don't know where he's at right now. I have questions about where his confidence is at. I mean, he wasn't that guy. He wasn't Matty Ice last night. I didn't believe that he was just going to take the ball down the field, and this was a no-brainer win for them on the last possession.
You know how many touchdowns did Matt Ryan throw last night?
Yeah, none. Zero.
Zero.
Goose egg. And I think he should have at least had one to win the game. I mean, I think if you know, everybody could agree that if he had executed that throw on the last play and really gave Julio a chance, they win that game.
Yeah, he essentially threw that ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, that ball was always going to take Julio out of bounds, if the defender was there or not. That ball was never going to be catchable.
Well, and I think Steve Sarkisian didn't have the greatest night in the world. Multiple plays, three straight plays in a row, same formation. The last two plays in that goal line formation were the exact same play call, the exact same result. They didn't score.
Yeah.
The Falcons are a mess. But the Eagles, I think, are in an interesting situation because it's not like Nick Foles blew their doors off. He threw for 117 yards. He, too, did not have a touchdown in that game. He actually was rated lower than Matt Ryan last night, if you can figure that out. But I think the Eagles know that Carson Wentz is coming.
Yeah.
That's probably late in September, early October.
And that'll give them that energy boost. That'll give them that extra little bit.
Absolutely. And if you're winning games with Nick Foles, why would you rush your franchise quarterback who's going to be your guy for a decade? Why would you rush him back?
And let's be honest, he's better than Foles. But the nice luxury that they have is that Foles can get the job done. And he's proven over and over again that he's a backup that's reliable. You know, and there's a big difference in this league between backups who are just you're throwing in there to survive and a guy who can actually go out and be serviceable for you and can actually, like, finish a game for you. And that's what Nick Foles is.
And by the way, I also think that this Falcons team is missing their Roddy White this year. You still have Julio Jones at the top of his game for 169 yards last night, but you're missing a compliment. You're missing a guy who can step in there and just make a difference as that number two receiver. So this is a storyline I think we're going to watch for the next month. The Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan, how does he play? You know, how does Devontae Freeman do? Like, there's a lot of storylines around this Falcons team I think we have to pay attention to. One of the more scintillating teams, in my opinion, as well, that we have to pay attention to, without question, is the Seattle Seahawks. Because there are stories coming out just today at Deadspin still about the Russell Wilson interception in the Super Bowl against the Patriots to lose that game on the final play of the game. And today, I thought it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating to read that a lot of guys in that Seahawk locker room, specifically the defense, told Sports Illustrated that they believed that that play call came in from the sideline to throw the ball so that Marshawn Lynch didn't win the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's just like, give me the brain exploding emoji, like nuclear war. Like, it's amazing that this team fell apart because the defense believed that Pete Carroll was trying to hold Marshawn Lynch back.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to respond to that. It seems so unlikely. It seems so conspiracy theory. It seems so paranoid. But then you start thinking about this, and that Wilson from Sports Illustrated, I want to read this excerpt about Russell Wilson. He throws an interception that mattered less than the fact that the Seahawks had called a pass play on second down. Many who lamented how Wilson was treated differently now believe, truly believe, that Carroll had called a pass play to give Wilson a better chance to win the Super Bowl MVP award and decrease Marshawn Lynch's chances, perhaps conveniently ignoring that offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel might have actually called the play, not Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And so this brings back that narrative that you always tell me I'm wrong about, that Pete Carroll's along for the ride in a lot of game-ending, big-time situations. I agree that Daryl Bevel probably made the play call. But the thing that stands out here, and this is what I don't understand, how have you won with Pete Carroll? How has he built one of the best defenses in the history of football? And that defense clearly didn't like or respect him at that point.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And when I hear that whole situation, the first thing I'm thinking to myself is, man, that really speaks to who Marshawn was. If that defense truly believes that Pete Carroll had a real disrespect for Marshawn Lynch, had a real issue, didn't like the guy, that's amazing to me. Because Marshawn is a storied individual. That guy, I mean, we've been talking about Marshawn for a long time.
Marshawn Lynch, according to this story, sat in the locker room with his full pads on, saying out loud, "He effed me. I can't believe it. He effed me. For like an hour after the game, he just sat there saying that," meaning Pete Carroll screwed him.
Yeah.
Out of that situation.
I mean, he did. He absolutely did. And I don't care who called the play.
So you buy it.
I don't care who called the play. I just know what it looks like. And when the whole defense, I'm not saying the whole defense, but the core group of guys on that defense says, hey, here's how we feel about that on one of the best defenses the NFL's ever seen. Yeah, I buy it.
You know what's terrible about this play, though, that Super Bowl? really is that Super Bowl because that play defined that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you look at the participants in that play, who are they? Well, Malcolm Butler, Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and Daryl Bevel.
Yeah.
Those guys have not exactly had great runs since that Super Bowl. Now, obviously, that, I don't know if you agree, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but that was Malcolm Butler's high watermark.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
No doubt.
That'll probably define his career.
Yeah.
But doesn't that define the career of all of those big-name Seahawks? Because if they win that Super Bowl, they've got not one but two. And if Marshawn Lynch wins that MVP, is he still even playing in this league? I don't think he is. Is Pete Carroll still coaching? I think there's a chance Pete Carroll retires because he's not a young man.
Yeah.
Daryl Bevel's probably a head coach. Like, I mean, the fortunes. Is Richard Sherman, is the Legion of Boom still playing together in Seattle? Not maybe all of it, but Michael Bennett's probably still there.
70% of it.
Richard Sherman's probably still there, which means that Earl Thomas isn't looking for a way out. You know, like that defense was truly elite. It's one of the greatest defenses ever. And it melted down, and those pieces were sold off.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, that play changed the course of the entire division for a long time.
Man.
That defense stays together. If it never comes out that, you know, Marshawn's sitting there in his pad saying, he effed me, like, if all that didn't happen, it changes things. It absolutely changes things.
Yeah. Some, according to Sports Illustrated, some Seahawks still remember every detail from that night. Sherman pacing back and forth, wearing his frustration into the carpet in that locker room in Arizona. Lynch, fully dressed, downing a bottle of cognac, saying, that mother effer robbed me. F this. He effed me over and over again. Lynch said, we gave the ball to the soul of our team and we lose. F it. We lose. Point blank, period. You lost doing what you do best, but you gave it to Russ. End quote.
That's rough.
I mean, yeah.
That's absolutely rough.
And you'll never get away from that. You'll never get away from that play and that loss.
In articles like this, for me anyway, just say, wow, Russell Wilson. I mean, you're not a huge Russell Wilson guy.
I'm
the guy who says that he's quality. I mean, he's not the best in the league, but
he's a good
quality
quarterback.
I'm not saying you're saying he sucks. What I'm saying is that articles like this make me waver on him. And because
it's
strong, you don't hear stuff like this out of, you know, Rodgers, Brady, even Matt Ryan. I mean,
because,
and we only talked about Matt Ryan last night.
Jake, those guys are big time leaders. Tom Brady, when he talks, if you're, let's put ourselves in a tunnel. Before the Super Bowl, we're going out for the Super Bowl, and we're in the tunnel before warmups, and there's a quarterback talking to his team. Do you respect it if it's Tom Brady more than Russell Wilson? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
If it's Ben Roethlisberger more than Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. And you can just keep going down the list. Phil Rivers in L.A.? Yes, you do. Like, I mean, think of Drew Brees. Yes, you do. Respect him more than Russell Wilson. And it's not that those guys have won more, because they haven't, but Russell Wilson's a guy that is not a powerful personality. Russell Wilson's a guy that is soft. He's soft-spoken. He is soft-demeanored.
Yeah.
He's never going to be in your face. He's not the guy that's ever going to curse. He's just not the guy.
Yeah.
He's a dual-threat quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's smart. He plays well. But he's not a guy.
Yeah.
He's just not a general. He's not a...
Yeah, for sure.
You don't need to yell and scream, but when Tom Brady yells and screams, people listen.
Yeah.
When Drew Brees yells and screams, people listen. When Philip Rivers yells and screams, when Ben Roethlisberger, when just go up and down the list, they listen. Derek Carr garners more respect in his locker room than Russell Wilson does.
Yeah.
Think about that. Derek freaking Carr has more respect in his locker room than Russell Wilson does. That's amazing to me. You know, so it is what it is. Let's move on to Colin Kaepernick real quick. So another university, we told you University of the Ozarks the other day dropped Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's Liberty University. The first year is a D1. Liberty's not your normal university. They sponsor a NASCAR. You know, they are essentially run by Jerry Falwell Jr., who we all know that Jerry Falwell is, in some circles, a crazy-ass preacher, right? So Jerry Falwell Jr. runs Liberty University, and today he said, yeah, we're reevaluating our relationship with Nike. Well, hey, Jer, why are you doing that, bud? Well, because if they really believe the essence of the Colin Kaepernick Just Do It campaign, philosophically, we don't align. But let's just say that they're just doing it as a marketing tool. They're just using the imagery and, you know, Colin's face as just a marketing campaign to sell shoes. Okay, we can live with that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So you're already a hypocrite then. Because if it's Colin Kaepernick's face, it means the exact same thing that you said you don't align yourself with.
Yeah.
That's their argument.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, we're talking to Nike and we're just reevaluating things because we don't, you know, we fundamentally, we can't agree with a guy that, you know, doesn't respect law enforcement or the military or the United States of America. Like,
this is what I was saying on the show yesterday. This is that argument I was referring to where you just have somebody saying, well, he doesn't respect the military or the cops or anybody. He's just out trying to get more money and trying to make, you know, trying to rock the boat.
Correct.
That's who these guys are. And all I have to say is, who are you? Who are you?
Yeah, it's remarkable how, first of all, let's just make something very clear. Colin Kaepernick does not have an issue with the military. Colin Kaepernick does not have an issue with America. Colin Kaepernick is kneeling to protest police brutality. One. Two, Colin Kaepernick has made a huge mistake wearing those pig socks. And the Fidel Castro t-shirt, those were huge mistakes that he should have to carry the burden of until he apologizes for them. And he may have, I don't know. But Colin Kaepernick is on the record saying he does not have an issue with all cops. He has an issue with cops that target African Americans and minorities. And police brutality in what he calls the murder of black men in this country by cops. Okay? His delivery is why people think he hates all cops.
Right.
Because, of course, you can't just hate bad cops. You have to hate all cops.
Right.
So this liberty thing, if this was North Carolina, okay, I get it. This is a big deal. It's liberty. It's liberty. Liberty's doing this, in my opinion, to, and I hate to use a political term, liberty's doing this to play to their base. It's a deeply, deeply religious university. Or at least they'll tell you that so that you'll send them money and make donations.
Right.
But,
right.
Sorry, I'm just being a jerk now. Amen, Jerry Falwell. All right, Tammy Faye Baker.
Hello.
I've seen them together. I want to say Jim Baker is Jerry Falwell's son. Anyway, now I'm being awkward, and I don't know why. The point is, liberty's just a religious institution, and I think this is a publicity stunt, plain and simple. It's kind of an interesting story because it's the second university. And I watched the show Ozark, so I know how twisted.
I was thinking that.
I know how twisted, you know. I know what goes
Marty
on.
Marty Bird must be involved.
There are poppy fields at the University of Missouri, Ozarks, Kansas City, Atlanta. I know that. Anyway, I'll stop. The point is, these are two small schools. If this gets to a large institution, then we can talk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a publicity stunt. I truly do. Speaking of jerks and a-holes, let's talk about the NCAA. So apparently you're not allowed to, if you are a soccer player in college, you are not allowed to play soccer unless it's in college. That's what I get from this story. But then again, I'm not very intelligent, so I could be wrong. The story goes like this. Kentucky and their soccer program. So their coaches and, you know, the Foo Fighters are playing a pickup game of soccer with the University of Kentucky coaches. Dave Grohl, the Foo Fighters.
Right.
Right. It just so happens on a adjacent field happened to be the men's and women's Kentucky soccer team. Also playing pickup soccer, right? They're playing pickup games. Three current Kentucky men's soccer players, one former men's soccer player and one current women's soccer player participated in the pickup games after coaches said, hey, yeah, come on over. Let's play some soccer. Let's do it. Okay, no problem, right? Like, it's no big deal.
It's no big deal. What is the problem?
They're suspended from team activities now because they say playing soccer with the Foo Fighters and your coaches at the same time is a violation of NCAA rules.
Maybe.
Hello. According to the Louisville Courier Journal, who obtained the information via a Freedom of Information public records request, two pickup games were going on simultaneously when the two got together. And the NCAA says that, yeah, this is a problem because you're not allowed to have interactions with your players at this time of year. Like, are you serious? It's the frickin' Foo Fighters. If Dave Grohl is chopping wood, I'm going to chop wood with him. If Dave Grohl is picking berries to make scones, I'm going to make scones.
Okay, let's be honest. First of all, that would be way more Taylor Hawkins than Dave Grohl. But
okay, if Taylor Hawkins, who's always naked, if Taylor Hawkins was picking grapes to make scones...
Hello.
If he was picking grapes while stoned to make scones naked, I wouldn't do that because that would be awkward because as a man, I don't feel right about that. Anyway, the point is Dave Grohl's way hotter. I'm just saying, if you want to play soccer with Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, why is this an NCAA violation? Now, and they don't have to miss games, right?
Oh, wait, but wait. They must have paid the Foo Fighters under the table.
No.
That's what this was.
Nope. Okay. But you'll have to miss two supervised team activities as punishment for their terrible mistake. The huge crime you committed by playing soccer with Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters is that you must miss two supervised team activities.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm just going to guess that Pat Smear was playing goal and Dave Grohl was a striker. Like, what position does Dave Grohl play on the soccer field?
He's a striker. Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. He's a striker. For sure.
Pat Smear just is not going to ever be athletic.
No.
He has terrible knee knocking that happens and screw the NCAA. I hate this story so much. Like
this is what they do though. They harp on the good stuff and they drop the ball on the bad stuff.
Yes, we heard that you happened to be in the grocery store together kicking a beach ball. We're going to have to suspend you from team activities for 7 years. Like, that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
They're soccer players. Like, are we not allowed, like,
no,
are basketball players not allowed to play pickup basketball? And if their coaches walk in, they all must immediately stop what they're doing and sit down on the floor so that they're not technically playing back. Like, that's the kind of crap. This is not sweaty Sean Miller ruining button-up shirts because he sweats so much on the sideline that they mildew even before halftime.
Okay.
No, that's not what this is. This is not Rick Pitino having an affair in an Italian restaurant, probably on the tables, and getting a woman pregnant and then paying for her to remove the baby from her life?
Maybe.
Like, Rick Pitino did that. Did he get fined by the NCAA, or was he forced to pay? No, he wasn't. So we can have sex outside of marriage, get a woman pregnant, and pay for an abortion, but you better not play pickup soccer with the Foo Fighters.
Makes perfect sense.
Did you hear what I said? Now, if it was Metallica...
It's outrageous.
If it was Metallica, that would be fine. But it's the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
I'll stop. I don't know why I brought that up. Can we pick games now? America, we're going to make you money. All right, so every Friday on the show during the football season, we're going to make you money.
Okay, settle down.
I'll stop. Now I'm in that Metallica. I love saying it.
You were listening.
Like, you cannot just say, oh, like, who's your favorite band? Oh, Metallica. You can't say it like that. You have to say Metallica. Like, you have to say it in the radio announcer. And it's not the same thing. Like, you can't say, oh, who's your favorite band? Hanson! Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way, right? It's Metallica. Who's the guy that we listen to the Christmas carols? Goulet. What the hell is his name? Oh, my goodness.
Bublé. Bublé.
Oh, yeah. Michael Bublé. Like, that doesn't work, right? Harry Connick Jr. Metallica. Like, it. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's pick games. Steelers at Browns. The Steelers are a four-point favorite. The over-under is 42. However, this line opened at -7 for the Steelers, and it's moved all the way down to -4.
The Le'Veon Bell effect.
You think that's what it is? Do you believe that all the money coming in on the Browns here is, how much of it is Hard Knocks? How much of it is Le'Veon Bell?
I think it's mostly Le'Veon. I think, yeah, Hard Knocks might have a little bit to do with it, but I think it's mostly Le'Veon. I think it's mostly the fact that once you have a guy sitting out like this and losing his locker room, there's dysfunction in the locker room now, and that's going to come on the field. There will be issues on the field, and I think people know that, and I think that's why you're seeing this.
Well, I love the Browns in this game. It's in Cleveland.
The land.
Again, the line right now is -4 to the Steelers. The over's 42. I'm going to take the Browns to win outright 28-21, which is a 49-point line. I love the Browns in this game.
Yeah, I have some questions. I mean, I like the Browns' defense a lot. That's the hard knocks effect, the sure. Browns' defense. We've seen a lot of that, and I think they're going to be very physical. I'm still going to take the Browns, too, but I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring of a game, so I'm going to go 21-17 Browns.
Wow, so you're way under. Okay, that works. Chiefs at the Los Angeles, don't call us the San Diego Chargers. In this game, the Chargers are a three-point favorite. The number's 48. I love the Chargers all day in this game. I love the Chargers 13 times total to win this year. I got them winning 13 games. I'm going to go Chargers 31-24. That's a 55-point total because I am not a believer in Mahomes here. I really like the Chargers to win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers, too. I think Mahomes is going to get he's going to get pressured. I think he's going to turn the ball over, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers put up a 35 spot in this game. I think, you know, Mahomes will – I like Mahomes for two interceptions at least in this game, and I think if that happens, the Chargers will run away.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think this defense is really going to try and get after him because that's obvious. That's going to be their weakness, and they've lost a lot on that defense.
And by the way, you know, Mahomes being a young guy, it is you know, week one for them, so there are going to be those, you know, week one kind of, you know, kinks and rust. And
what happens if they get behind and they're trailing in this game and he's got to throw the ball to get them back?
And that's where you're going
to
get the interceptions.
Cowboys at the Panthers. I think this is one of the more compelling matchups because you have a Dallas Cowboy team that's an underdog on the road to open the season in Carolina. I like the Panthers all day in this game, 28-21, and here's why. Because I'm not an Ezekiel Elliott believer, and I have no idea who Dak Prescott's going to throw the football to. I think that's a huge problem. Their weapons, obviously, Jason Witten, Des Bryant are not there anymore. Jason Witten's probably the bigger deal because I think he was clearly Dak's guy when he was in trouble.
He's been everybody's guy.
Well, now he's going to have to find out who his guy is. Dak didn't play much in the preseason. I have a lot of concerns about the Cowboys. This is a long road trip for them. They're going in the wrong direction. 28-21, Panthers cover and win the game.
That's tough. I mean, I like that prediction. I do think that you're right about the travel. I do think, you know, every time we talk about Brady not having tools, the way Dak doesn't have tools, I just sit here and think to myself, this is what makes guys like Brady different, right? Because guys like Brady can go out and make it happen with Chris Hogan. You know, can Dak do that? Can Dak come out and execute? I don't know. I have questions about that. I think Dak will put on a good show, but I don't think they win the game. So, again, you know, the Panthers, I think McCaffrey's set to have a big year, and I like where he's going. So I'm still going to take the Panthers in this game. I'm going to go with you as well. I think 28-21 is a solid pick. I think that's very realistic.
All right, so we both have the Panthers covering in that one. And by the way, one of the storylines in the Chargers season will be Phillip Rivers because just watching his 2017 highlights on YouTube today, he throws guys open on a regular basis.
Yeah,
and that's something that Dak doesn't do. A couple other games I think you got to keep your eye on in the NFL. Obviously, the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky starts his march to Canton in the yellow jacket with an ass-whooping. in Green Bay. I actually don't think this is a swooping as much as people think. The line is 7.5. The Packers are favored by 7.5 here. Yes, that Packer defense is better. Very quietly, that secondary, as I've been saying all week, has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
They're not 7.5 points better, and I think it's because this Bears defense is very good. And when Khalil Mack's at 100% and he's in game shape, I think they're a top five defense. Right now, I think they're close to that, and I think they're going to make Aaron Rodgers' life very difficult. I think the Packers win the game, but the Bears are going to cover it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like that a lot. I think, for number one, I have Tariq Cohen on my team, so, you know, I'm digging that. But number two, I think, yeah, I think this will be a good test early for Trubisky. I really want to see him come out.
Jake.
Mitchell.
Thank you.
I really want to see Mitchell come out and have a have a good solid game. I would even be okay with one pick, but don't turn the ball over two or three times and
make
a bunch of issue.
Can't turn the ball over ever. Cannot throw interceptions.
I think it's going to happen, and I think you know we're both in agreement that the Packers secondary has quietly gotten better. I 100% agree with that.
You give Aaron Rodgers extra possessions, you're going to lose.
Well, yeah, for sure. I totally agree with that. But
Lambeau.
I think you know the Bears defense will get a turnover in this game. I just think it's one of those that this is typical NFC North matchup right here where it's really physical. You're going to have a lot of, you know, run. I just think that at the end of the day, the Packers will pull this one out. I like it. I like it to be, I'm going to go 23-17.
By the way,
that
line's down to 7 points now.
I think it's going to get closer.
It opened at 9.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to get closer.
Yeah. You know what?
Who's Aaron Rodgers
going
to go to? I mean, look, I get that they got Graham, but I don't know.
Jordy. Oh, wait. No. James Jones. No, he's not there either.
That's what I'm saying. This is like Dak's in this situation. Rodgers is in this situation.
Well, there's a lot of transition in the NFL. This was one of the more interesting off seasons. So finally, the biggest number in the NFL this week is 9.5 to the Saints. They're hosting the Bucs at the Dome in New Orleans. I think New Orleans is going to win this game. The Bucs defense is better. I do think New Orleans dominates. This is one of the few lines, one of the very few lines that I am comfortable saying, yeah, you know what? I think 9.5 is the right number. I think they win by 10. But I'm telling you, once Famous gets back and he's done stealing crabs at the Publix, Jameis Winston did that.
Right.
Once Jameis Winston's back, and if they can truly keep this thing together, I think that defense is good enough. Their pass rush certainly is better with JPP there. I think they're good enough to win games. But right now, today, and really it matters on Sunday they're going to lose by 10 points at New Orleans because I think Drew Brees is phenomenal. I mean, that offense, Kamara, I love them. So those are our locks this week. We have got the Browns, the Chargers, the Panthers. I love the Bears to lose but cover. And I like the Saints to dominate the Bucs and cover that 9.5. Those are our NFL locks. Let's talk about the college football action this weekend. I don't know why I'm talking like that. I think there's a bunch of games that are interesting, and none of them involve Metallica. I'll stop. Number 15, Michigan State at Arizona State. Michigan State's a 5.5-point favorite in this game. The number's 53.5. I think this is a huge weekend for Michigan State, and I think it's a huge weekend for Arizona State.
Yeah, I think this is a massive game for Herm Edwards just in now and in the future. This is one of those statement kind of games. He's got to come out, and he's got to execute. Yeah, you beat up on UTSA.
But
that's
Chick, it was UTSA.
Yeah,
that's
but I know, I get it. It's
program.
A quality, quality opponent. We get it. No, they're not. You should have won the game. So you handled business there, but I just think... You know, does Herm come out and execute? Do they have a great game, or does he have an average game?
If they beat Michigan State,
statement game. If you come out and you beat Michigan State, you're in great shape. You're in absolutely great shape. And for the rest of the year, you can say, hey, every time we go on the field, we know that we can beat whoever we're playing.
This is the game that Herm Edwards was made for. This is the game that Herm Edwards really needs. And I think it's exactly what you said. He is coaching for legitimacy right now. He made so many mistakes just in the things that he said leading up to the season, talking about recruiting, talking about you know, the offenses and defenses and canceling Camp Tantazona.
Dude,
and
the guy is just struggling to be a college football coach.
He's learning on the job. But this is Michigan State from good old East Lansing over there by the Great Lakes of Illinois and Chicago, coming all the way out to the desert to play a 10:45 Eastern kickoff. Trap game.
Good luck,
absolutely
bro.
A trap game. It's going to be hot, which you really like. And here's something that I think is critical to note. Michigan State's 1-8 with 5 outright losses as a road favorite since 2015. And oh, by the way, ASU won outright in 3 of its 4 games at home as a dog last season, 3-1 against the spread. Forks up, bitches!
No.
I like Arizona State to win this game.
No, stop. Stop.
It's Friday. Can we not have some fun? Forks up. I love it. I'm going 38-35. Arizona State wins. I'm going to call it on a late field goal. Pat Tillman is going to be smiling from his statue as ASU wins this game and they celebrate big time in Tempe. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think if they can come out and win this game, and I agree with you, it is a trap game, a late game for Michigan State, 10:45 Eastern, that is a late game for them. And you know, for
boys
me,
are usually 3 kegs in at we've
already showered and got the beer in us and we're good.
You can leave the shower part out.
Okay.
Well, at Michigan State, you go in the shower,
okay,
but you don't.
Okay, let it be. Let it be.
Like I said, forks up, bitches. Let's move on to Arizona, the Wildcats. They're screwed. I think this is a really difficult week. This is turning into not good for the swag copter Kevin Sumlin down in Tucson. Because
The dirty T.
I don't know why I copied that.
That team down south.
Yeah, those guys. Arizona at Houston. 3.5-point favorites for Arizona. This is a noon Eastern kickoff. What's that mean, Jake? That means it's a 9 a.m. Pacific kickoff. Houston 7-1 against the spread and 7-1 straight up in their past 8 games against Power 5 teams. Kevin Sumlin's coming home 0-2. And I think this is not an easy win for Houston. But you're 3.5, and I think they cover that. I think they beat Arizona by a touchdown. By the way, we're going to talk BYU in a minute. Didn't BYU kind of create the mold on how to handle Khalil Tate? Because nobody else has handled him the way Kalani's defense did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think BYU did a phenomenal job, and they showed you. They put it on tape how you stop Khalil Tate. There's no question about it. They absolutely dominated that game.
Do you think anybody else has watched that tape?
I'm going to go and say everybody else in the nation has watched that tape. But listen, they didn't call keepers for Khalil, so that, you know.
No, they didn't. They didn't design runs. BYU got lucky. I love Houston in this game. Sorry. The Cougars. Cougars. They're going to beat the Wildcats. They're going to tame the Wildcats in Houston.
Metallica.
I have no idea what's wrong with me. I believe I'm mentally deficient. I like Houston to knock off Arizona. Speaking of knock it off, how about USC at number 10 Stanford? Number 17 USC, number 10 Stanford. This is not going to be good. This is one of those games I think is very difficult to prognosticate.
Okay.
I'm on fire. I'm on a roll.
Fire.
Let him go. He's on a roll. I think USC is terribly, terribly overrated. And they're not really overrated because they're number 17. But I think people love USC, and I don't. You have a very young, inexperienced quarterback, and we're going to take him to the farm. Oink, oink, piggies. I think that you don't even know what that is, do you? Anyway, I think that USC is going to go to the farm and they're going to get blitzed. This is not going to be good. Stanford's a 5-point favorite. 56.5 is the number. This will be a 5 o'clock kick at Stanford. I love Stanford in this game. It opened 4. It's up to 6. Stanford's going to roll. I think they win 28-14.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if you look at what Stanford did last week against a team who absolutely just loaded the box to stop Bryce Love, They just said, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to go ahead and throw the football and light it up. And
no, Stanford can't throw the football.
No, they can't throw the football. Not even a little bit. So I think Stanford did a great job. You know what Stanford showed? That it's not just the Bryce Love show. They can come out. If you want to load the box, okay, we're going to throw it over the top. If you're going to play off, then we're going to give it to Bryce, and he's going to tear you up. I mean, I just think that at the end of the day, the question is, can USC handle both Bryce Love and handle the air raid? If they can handle both, then they're going to be okay. But my question really is, how are you going to do that?
Well, you cannot allow KJ Costello to do what he did to San Diego State last week, which is throw for 332, four scores, and only one pick. USC is incredibly athletic. They always are. They always will be. But I think the difference is that Stanford is really good right now. They learned last week that Bryce Love doesn't have to be the man every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge lesson. And, you know, frankly, I don't know that Christian Chapman is capable of going up to a place like Stanford where the Cardinal are very comfortable.
And I don't know why everybody thinks going to Stanford is some like cakewalk. I don't really get it.
Well, because they have like four fans in the stadium. But the thing that people forget is Stanford, those guys are not going to football games. They're at like chess club and science lab and stuff. Like, yeah, they're splitting the atom during the football game. And that's because they're all really smart and intelligent kids. They graduate in like one semester. And it's like most kids in college are in their third trimester. They're done in one semester. You know what I'm saying? The point is...
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
See, all of this right off the top
Uncle
of my
Monty.
Head. Hello. The point is that Stanford is not a huge school. It is a tiny school.
It's an elite school.
It is. And academics, David Shaw and I have talked about this 100 times. Academics limits who he can recruit. So you go up to Stanford, and it's not a full stadium. It's not a rockin' house. And that's just how they like it. Because they have just enough fans to make your life difficult. And the Stanford football team loves playing on the farm. And I think that it's a very difficult place to go and play. And I think USC is going to find that out tomorrow, and they're going to lose at Stanford. So I like it, 28-14. That's 42 points, so they're way under the number. I don't know how anybody – like, it's impossible to prognosticate games early in the season. Like, and maybe I'm just, again, mentally deficient, but I'm looking at some of these lines, and I'm like, dude – there's no way that Stanford and USC go over the 56.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the first couple weeks for Vegas are always tough because you never know what you're going to get because there's been so much change in the offseason. There's been so much, you know, just not even just change on the field, change in character, change in leadership, even changing coaches sometimes. Like, you just never know what you're going to get. So, you know, we get a game last night in the NFL where it's 18-12. Like, come on, bro, 18-12? Did the lights even turn on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who saw 18-12 coming?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. I, you're right. It is a little bit difficult in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on to Georgia, number three, the Dogs. 10-point favorites in Columbia, South Carolina. Will Muschamp, I think, is going to be on the verge of a massive win for his program. I love the fact that Georgia's a 10-point favorite in this game. I love the fact that the number's 56 because no chance they go over 56. I think it's Georgia winning 27-24, and that's 51 points. Take Georgia, but Carolina covers, and they go under.
Yeah, I think Will Muschamp is you know, running a political campaign in that locker room. I mean, he's really pushing that they're the underdog in this matchup, that no one's giving them a chance. Hey, we're the underdog. You know, we need to go out there.
Georgia's going
to
come in here and win by 10.
You know, we need to go out there and absolutely annihilate these guys and surprise everybody. And so I just say, you know, South Carolina went 6-1 against the spread with four outright wins as an underdog last season. So ooh, I'm just saying, you know, you're not playing some pushover right here. So I just think, yeah, I think Georgia pulls it out, but this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah, and one other nugget from Vegas: the under is 11-4 in South Carolina's 15 games against teams with a winning record under Will Muschamp. You got to take the under. You got to take Georgia to win and South Carolina to cover. Now, the two most interesting games on the schedule for a good part of our listenership would be the California Golden Hippies going to BYU. Cougar up! LaVell Edwards Stadium is going to be rocking for the home opener, coming off of a massive win over Khalil Tate, who happens to play for Arizona. I don't know if people know that. BYU's a 3-point favorite. The number's 46, and I think they get the job done handily. I'm going to say 28-17 because BYU, the lines on both offense and defense dominated Arizona. And I think Cal is not an offensive juggernaut, to say the least. They're supposed to be built with Wilcox on defense, and they're not. I really like BYU in this game. In fact, I think BYU's defense scores a touchdown in this game. Say 28-17, BYU wins. They not only cover, they're just under the number, which is 46.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think when you are coming off a performance like you are, against Khalil Tate, I think they did an outstanding job. You know this is going to be a
surprising was that?
Well, I think it was really surprising. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I mean, legitimately, if you said out in the open, well, who do you think is going to be the defense this year that really stops Khalil Tate, that shuts him down for a game? The answer wouldn't have been BYU.
No.
And so coming out like that and proving that you can actually play and you can legitimately make a game plan for one quarterback and shut him down and execute, that just says to me, this defense can make a game plan and execute on whatever it is that they feel they need to execute on. And when you can do that, you're going to be in great shape. I mean, that's all I have to say.
Well, and I think this is finally Kalani's defense. This is finally Kalani's coaching staff. I think, you know, the way that Grimes came out and called plays, shifted gears, went up-tempo when Arizona was clearly tired. Like, I think everything came together very nicely on the road against a P5 in the Pac-12. And now not only do you have a chance to get another P5 win, but you have a chance to be 2-0 against the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And I think for all BYU fans, I have good news. Yes, you still have to go to church on Sunday, but you're going to show up at church 2-0, and everybody's going to be in a good mood on Sunday morning.
Yep.
Because BYU is going to win. Can we say the same thing for those Utes on the road in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, against the Northern Illinois Husky football team? Yes, I think they're going to win, and I think they're going to win handily. I love the Utah Utes in 2018, and I know that I'm not alone in that. I think that if you look at, some of the storylines coming out on the offense, I like Tyler Huntley. Obviously, it was Weber State, but Tyler Huntley looked really good, especially later as the game went on. I love the fact that Britton Covey looks like a kid who's been here all along. No idea that he went and served a mission or missed even a week of football. He looks fast. He looks durable. He looks shifty. I love the way he came out. And then, of course, how do you talk Ute offense without talking about Zach Moss? The guy is just unbelievable. He gained 150 yards and just is electric. He's absolutely electric. And then there's the defense. My favorite college football player is still Chase Hansen. He's a senior now. He's a linebacker now. He's leading. He is playing. He is taking great angles. I mean, he really is a fantastic linebacker. Better than he was a safety, certainly better than he was a quarterback. Chase Hansen is the real deal, and I love what they're doing defensively. The secondary, Marquise Blair obviously is a guy that everybody talks about. I love the way this defense is coming together. I learned a long time ago you don't question Kyle Whittingham's defense. And in DeKalb, yep, Illinois, on Saturday night, you're not going to do that either, because I think they're going to roll in this game. I don't want to get too far ahead of it. They're a 10.5-point favorite. To me, if I'm Northern Illinois, I'd be thrilled. I would be thrilled to score 3 touchdowns in this game. Sadly, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they score 17. I think the Utes score 42. I think they destroy those Huskies in DeKalb, Illinois. I think I said Bloomington Normal earlier. Isn't that Illinois State? Sorry to get my small, meaningless Central Illinois towns mixed up.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. Let's all get some score. I ran out of gas. The point is, I think the Utes are going to steamroll Northern Illinois. They, too, will be 2-0. So those are our locks, but a couple other games real quick. Oklahoma's a 29-point favorite against UCLA, UCLA, the University of California of Los Angeles. Chip Kelly is going to Norman to get smoked.
Yeah.
Don't you have to take UCLA to cover the 29, though? Like, how can you take Oklahoma?
I mean, it's Chip Kelly. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, at least put something up, at least he put on some kind of a show. But Oklahoma's going to win. I mean, there's no question about it.
They're awful.
Yeah, I know.
UCLA
garbage.
For the first time in a very long time, UCLA just isn't talented.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's going to take some time to get out of the hole that Jim Moore Jr. dug for this football team. So I think it's 29 freaking points, man. You have to
You're going to get dominated.
Oklahoma's going to win this game. UCLA is going to cover that 29. If they don't, I don't know what will happen. And then speaking of big numbers, hello, baby. Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide. 36.5 point favorites over Arkansas State. Aren't they the Warhawks? I have no idea. So we're going to call them the Warhawks. I have no idea what they are. Arkansas. No, let's call them the Beavers. Arkansas is known for beavers, aren't they?
Okay, sure.
Or woodchuckers?
I mean, Beavers is Oregon State, but, you know.
Hey, baby. I think we'll go War Beavers. Okay. The Arkansas State War Beavers are taking the field in Tuscaloosa, and they're going to get that ass whooped. But here's the problem. Alabama, there's no way they win by 36.5 points.
No, there's not a chance. And the only reason that we're even talking about this game is because, you know, Nick Saban puts these kind of games on the schedule so he can build depth. This is all this is.
Sure.
You're gonna send your 2, 3, and 4s out there. You're gonna see what you got. And when it comes to a primetime game, the ones will be out there and we'll have a real game to talk about.
So you're essentially saying he's building the program against the War Beavers of Arkansas State.
Yes.
Let's go, Warhawks.
Nice damn.
Damn those Beavers. Anyway, the point is, yeah, I would agree with you. Bama's gonna win fantastically here, but it's not going to, you're going to go under 65.5 and you're not winning by 36.5. The locks for college football, our locks are Arizona State to outright against Michigan State. We've got Stanford. We're going to say they're going to cover that 6 easily. They'll double up USC. We're going to take South Carolina to lose to Georgia, but they're going to cover the 10. Georgia's a 10-point favorite. I don't like that at all. I think Carolina's got a better than a puncher's chance in that game. And then we're taking BYU to not only cover, but win handily against Cal, and the Utah Utes are going to destroy those Huskies.
Lit.
They'll cover the 10.5, in my opinion. UCLA will cover the 29. Bama will not. The Arkansas State War Llamas will cover the 36.5. War Llama's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's creativity. Like, just, I mean, I like that. Well
you know,
done. Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Tigers 5 off the lead, by the way.
Oh.
Just so you know. It's Friday, September 7th, and we haven't talked an ounce of baseball yet. Should we? Like we said, no, nothing but football today.
It's
on
football
the show.
Friday, man.
Football Friday.
Yeah, it's football Friday.
But wait, does that mean that? Oh, don't start the music yet. That means the show's over.
Okay. Thank you.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. War Beaver. Say goodbye, Jake.
Metallica.
Well, you know.